Blog Talk Radio.
The election. The election is a battle in a war. It is not something unto itself. The result of this election in itself is a matter of indifference. It's a question of how the battle is won and lost, which is important. But there's another issue here. There's also an issue of World War III. And World War III is between the British Empire, better known as the Anglo-Dutch liberal banking financial system on the one side, and the principal nations of Eurasia, Russia, China, India, and other nations, are the targets of intended warfare by the British Empire, which is already turning Europe into a mere colony of the British Empire through the program of the Lisbon Treaty. If the Lisbon Treaty were adopted, and is being pushed for adoption now, there would not be a single nation on the continent of Europe, west of Belarus and Russia, which had any sovereignty whatsoever. The British Empire would control the entirety of that region of Europe, from Portugal to the borders of Belarus and Russia, as a puppet of the Anglo-Dutch liberal financial interests. It is those interests represented in the United States for a long time, have taken over control of the U.S. dollar, control of the United States. Now they're moving in for the kill. The same cartel that put Mussolini into power in Italy, the same cartel that put Hitler into power in Germany. And we're now at the brink of something like a Hitler power taking over the United States. If they grab the United States, then they will grab all of Europe under the Lisbon Treaty. If they control the United States and the parts of Europe under the Lisbon Treaty, then you will have an actual fighting war emerging on this planet. You will have dictatorship. You will have mass starvation. The elimination of whole sections of the population of parts of the world through starvation. And that's part of the British program. It's the food war. That's the situation. We're not dealing with an election. We're dealing with whether there is in the United States, in the top layers of society, the moral fitness to survive. And so far, the vote is, in the leadership of the Democratic Party and the Republican Party, neither is morally fit to survive. There is unmorally fit to survive as the people who backed Mussolini and backed Hitler back in the 1920s and the 1930s. And if we allow this to happen, we will get the same kind of treatment that the victims of Mussolini, Hitler, and so forth suffered. That's what he said. We have to win this war against that evil empire.
Hello. Welcome to the Prophecy Zone. My name is Phil Armstrong, a.k.a. Jay Singer. I'd like to welcome you to the show. Today, we're going to talk about, is anything that comes to the heart, that God brings the heart. Mostly about today, the day we live in, which is 2009, October. And boy, has this year flew by. This year has gone by very quick, just by, and every year it gets faster and faster and faster. It gets, matter of fact, it gets so fast that we put the Christmas tree away, and next thing you know, we're taking the Christmas tree back out again. And I don't know if it's God supernaturally speeding up time, or is it the food we eat. Of course, it's not the food we eat, but it's God. And we have to make use of all the time that we have. If we don't make use of all the time that we have, time may get away from us. And if time get away from us, we're going to be standing in front of God to give an account if we don't do the thing that God wants us to do, we can be flirting with disaster. Because keep in mind, God, the last thing that Jesus told us to do is go ye forth and preach the gospel to all the ends of the earth for witness to all, and then the end shall come. And if you let a preacher or a relative talk you out of something that God has for you, you need to pray about it and ask God to show you. Because, and I know y'all probably think I'm crazy when I say a preacher talking you out of it, but sometimes preachers can get selfish among their building, and they think that nothing can be done outside of the building. Or they think that, oh, you have to be up on their preacher. You can't go start a ministry. You can't do this, or you can't do this without being up on a preacher. See, what they mean is that your ministry has to be up under them. Now, what if you had an end-time ministry and your preacher never brought up end-time ministry? How's that going to work? What if God is calling you to address homelessness in New York? How's that going to work? Well, the way I look at it is this. And the way the Bible looks at it is this. The Word of God talks about in John that we have an unction from the Holy Spirit. Now, we don't need of a man to teach us. Now, it's not saying that we should seek wise counsel. We should seek godly counsel. That's not my point. But if you're going to go out and start a ministry ladies that have been raped, and your pastor has no wish or ill to do that, then you need to go do that if God is calling you to do that, okay? But if God is not calling you to do that, you need to continue to seek God until you find out his will for your life. But see, what I was talking about earlier, some preachers think that you're supposed to step under the framework of their church. And that's not true. Okay? And I'll prove the point. Okay? As long, if you got a preacher that's preaching the word of God, and trust me, we're getting to a point where there are going to be a lot of preachers preaching the word of God, but there's a whole bunch of them not preaching the word of God. If you're up under someone who is preaching the word of God, then you are up under that pastor, you should be okay if God's calling you. I say if God is calling you for something else. Because like I say, now if they got soul winning, if they got something there, I think you should participate in the church if that's what God's calling you for. And I think that as a body of Christ, we should stay together. Because the Bible says that two are better than one. Okay? Two people are better than one, or three, or four, or five. So we should stay in the framework of our church. Or we should do something with our brothers and sisters. That's not my point. My point is that if you're being called to do something outside of the church, and it's in the perimeters of the Word of God, you should go for it. If it's in the perimeters of the Word of God, you should go. If the Lord is calling you to do something, now don't jump ahead of the Lord. Wait on God to give you guidance. Don't do like I did and just jump ahead of him. And that's one thing my pastor was right. He was saying we can't jump ahead of God. God has to be directing our path. Because remember, the foundations, the different foundations, gold, silver, hay, precious gems, hay, stubble. I want to be a vessel used by the Lord to get his word out. Okay? The word of God says in Psalms 127, if the Lord is not the builder of the house or the building of the builder labors in vain. And that is so true in ministry. That's why people in their last days will say, Lord, Lord, haven't we done this or haven't we done that? I never knew you. And that's not a passive knew you, because I never knew you. That's a scary thing. So today might be another one of those shows where I'm all over the place. But we must know the will of the Lord. And the will of the Lord is that common salvation that you talked about. The will of the Lord is the salvation, his word, staying in his word, keeping his commandments. That is the most important thing. And if we honor that will, we can get ourselves in trouble. Okay? So we must stay in the will of the Lord so he can guide us, mold us, and shape us to what he wants us to do. I just came on to the radio program. I just found out that I checked my email and said, oh man, I got a show today. I didn't even know it. And here I am. And also I got on my switchboard and trying to start a chat room and found out that I need to download the Adobe software. And I guess the computer is giving me problems with it. So I'm going to have to do that later on. I can't do that now. So darn. Excuse me. I took the medication, blood pressure medication is causing me to cough all the time. And I should have never took that as a blood pressure medication. It makes me cough. And it's part of the warning that they give you for medication. Have you seen a commercial? You think you should, well, I might just take that. That's pretty sound. You listen to the commercial, that sounds pretty good. And all of a sudden, say, there might be some side effects. Well, why am I taking it if it's all them side effects? I mean, the commercial sounds kind of ridiculous. Your head might fall off, your nose might start bleeding, your kidneys might go up your throat. I mean, should we just forget about it, maybe? Men have trouble with, sex. Well, do the what? It might cause false side effects. Can't fall off. Teeth fall out. You know, just I'm not going to take it then if it's all those side effects. Give me a break. Give me a break. Go see your doctor. No kidding. No kidding. That's how the world is, though. The world is kind of like that. It's, everything has its side effects. If you try to start a business, everything has its everything has its catch 22. Life is a catch 22. Matter of fact, the whole span of life, if you lay life on a piece of paper and you draw it out, and take somebody who died in the 1800s, you draw it out their life, and then you compare it to someone who died in the 20th century and the 21st century, you're gonna probably say, wow, because even if there's different things that people were doing at that time and different technologies, we all struggle with the same thing. Men have always been, women, I mean, people have always been struggling with sex. It wasn't just yesterday. Why do you think Paul was able to write those things? Sexually, there should be sexual impurity among you. Okay? It's always been the case. People have always been dealing with anger, malice, strife. People have always been committing fornication. And then, even then, people have always dealt with serious problems, husband cheat on them. You know, you're going to tell me that people back in the 1700s didn't have their husband cheat on them? Well, I'll tell you one thing, though. Civilization's gotten a lot worse. You can look at it even more to a point where, hey, maybe they're doing it more these days instead of, you know, back in the day. So now they're doing it even more. You know, they're doing it even more. I got to make sure this phone, because I'm doing a show from my, I'm doing a show from my cell phone because for some strange reason my home phone is not working. And I don't know what's wrong with it. I have no idea what's wrong with that house phone. I don't know what's wrong with this house phone. But I'm glad to be doing a show with y'all. So President Obama's won the Nobel Peace Prize, huh? The people out there really think he deserved that Nobel Peace Prize. I heard it was just for people. Now it's for people who have potential. You know how many people have potential to do something? What if everybody can receive a Super Bowl ring for potential of, you know, potential of playing in the Super Bowl? Wouldn't that help some of the young kids in society? I think it will. Maybe not. But I think that was pretty much a quick give, and I don't think people should get rewards like that. That kind of downplays the reward itself. The reward for the Nobel Peace Prize is not that strong. It's like giving a third-string running back the Heisman Trophy. When, I mean, they would probably. Wouldn't even, they probably would affect the Heisman Trophy organization if they gave somebody who really don't deserve the Heisman Trophy the Heisman Trophy. But I guess they see it as globalist sees it as a bargaining chip, so we'll see what's going to happen with that. The Middle East Peace Initiative, some people say it's dead in the water. No, because I haven't really been paying attention to it. You might say, well, you got a prophecy program and you haven't been paying attention to the Middle East peace, because it seems to me that it's like kind of weird because it stalemates every 6 months or maybe even once a year. It looks like it's going somewhere and then it just stalemates and it looks like it's going somewhere and then it's stalemates again, and I think it's crazy, okay? I think it's crazy. So, God bless everybody out there. I'm looking for something right now. I'm trying to look for some a news article. But I hope everybody's having a good weekend. I don't know what's wrong with Blog Talk. I'm trying to maneuver through because I'm not on my switchboard. I'm trying to get back to my switchboard, and it just seems like that this thing is just not going the way I want it to go. But I'm trying to get back to the switchboard. It's like, wow. But we need to really pray for our nation, because one of these days, you know, you never know what might happen. We always need to be in prayer. That's the number one issue. The number one thing we should be is in prayer. We shouldn't be anywhere outside of prayer. God wants us to pray without ceasing. And that is the most important thing that we should be doing, is praying for our fellow man. We have a mission, first of all, is to have that first relationship with God. And that second mission is to have our relationship with the world. And I don't mean being in the world, John 2:16, or of the world, but I mean as far as to love the people. If you have a Christianity that is not, and that includes myself, if I don't have a Christianity, if I'm not have a relationship with God and I have a difficulty loving man, my fellow man, that might be a problem down the road. And that's something that I have to get a hold of. And Jesus has to bring that love to me. I'm going to take a quick break, and I'll be back. Hello, and welcome to the program today. My name is Phil Armstrong, and for the next 53 minutes, we're going to be talking about Bible prophecy and what's going on in the world. There was an eclipse that was shown in the Indians, in the Indian part of the world. That was very, I took a look at it and went on to view it, and it was beautiful. It lasted like 6-something minutes, and it's supposed to be the longest of its kind. And I just thought that was very interesting to note, which we'll talk about later, about the signs. Now, I want to go over the book of Revelations today and look at some important points, but every time I finish a chapter, I'm going to refer back to the chapter, and I'm going to ask you, did you hear the word church in it? Now, many people believe that there is no rapture of the church, and they ask me, why you spend so much time on this? It's because of the importance of the hour that we're living in. We're living in an important hour that we have to acknowledge that God has made a way of escape.
God has made an emergency escape hatch. In a burning house, you do not stay in the burning house to prove a point that you're tough. You get the heck out. And the car is in reverse. You put the seatbelt on to protect yourself. Not saying that you're not going to get injured if you have your seatbelt on. The possibility you can still get injured. But there's a good chance you won't get injured. So if you walk up to somebody that wears seatbelts and say, I don't suggest you wear that seatbelt today, they're going to look at you like you're crazy. Or I suggest when the house starts burning down next week, you stay in it. Or if your house ever burned down, you stay in it. Or combine the two. If your car starts to explode, just lay in the seatbelt and just calm your nerves. Just let the car blow up so you can get 90-degree burns over your body. No, you try to get out. Well, if you look at the Old Testament, anytime Israel was faithful to God, they won their wars most of the time. If you look at it, when Israel was faithful, even when they wasn't faithful, God delivered them using many plagues to deliver them from Egypt. Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and they still got delivered from Egypt. If you look at it through the Bible, when Lot was, it says it vexed Lot's righteous spirit daily. So Lot was a righteous man, even though he had his troubles. And he got out the city. His wife looked back, who loved the world and the things of it. Now, I want to do a special on that, too, about Lot's wife, looking back at the pleasures of the world. Looking back, not knowing God's promises that this world is cursed. And there's a better place to come. There's a better world to come. And we have to understand that. Okay? So, this part of my show is recorded because I'm trying to record some of the 4 o'clock shows, and I'm going to move my office to a designated spot in my house, which is, I mean, not office. I'm going to move my studio, because my studio, believe it or not, is upstairs in our living area where we eat and stuff. So it's right in the middle of it. So sometime I'm going to pause this thing. And you're going to hear the pause, and I'm going to break and then do something else. But for right now, I'm going to probably take calls. Like, it depends on how it goes, how everything goes. But I like to take calls. I won't really take any calls into maybe the last 20 minutes of the show. I'll try to take calls. Remember that I'm not going to take any calls for the last 20 minutes of the show, but I would love for you to sit there and listen. And coming Friday, or starting Friday, when I do a show, I'm going to do it live so everybody can call in and participate. Being that this is the Book of Revelations, I'm going to do some current events as well. Well, not really current events, but I'm going to talk about the times of off and the signs that just preceded it, which was July 22nd. You probably saw, I wasn't really watching the news, but you probably saw the eclipse, and this is the time of off. So, just keep your eyes open that there could be something that will happen within the 10 days, especially on the 9th of all, which is the 30th, I think. Anyway, like I was saying before, I believe that the rapture of the church is imminent, and the rapture of the church will precede the tribulation period. The tribulation period is not for the church. We're not to fall under condemnation. Therefore, there is no condemnation to those who are Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now, God has come to condemn the world only because they have not accepted Jesus Christ. Other than that, he has not come to condemn the world. Now, let me repeat that. God has come to condemn the world only if they don't receive Jesus Christ. But he has not come to condemn the world. other than that decision. That's blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit calls you and says, come out of this world and be ye separated, and you stay in the mess that you're in, or you stay in the life that you're in, you are blaspheming the Holy Spirit. So the church is not appointed to wrath. God, the Bible says that, Paul said that the church is not, God has not appointed us to wrath. That's his wrath, the day of the Lord. If you read the book of Joel, Zechariah, Isaiah, the time that is appointed is God's wrath. Now, when people say, well, what about the missionaries that have been killed? They don't understand the Bible. They have the slightest idea, and I'm not saying it arrogantly. I'm just saying they don't understand the Bible. Had they understand the Bible, they would know that the wrath of God is a 7-year tribulation period. That's the time of Jacob's trouble, but it's also the time that God leashes his say. He has his say. Now, he allows the devil to do certain things, and allows man to do certain things, and he allows the devil to work through man to do certain things. But normally, God is the person who is initiating the bowls, I mean the seals, the bowls, and the seals, the trumpets, and the bowls. Now, it behooves you to understand that the word church is not mentioned after chapter 4. But we're focusing on chapter 6 today. And then I'm going to jump around for another day or two. And then I'm going to go, because I'm going to go here and read chapter 6. Okay, so let's start. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals. Now, we're going to establish the fact that the Lamb is Jesus Christ. And I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, come and see. And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went out forth to conquering and to conquer. Now I'm going to do some speculation today, and let you know what I think this is, the crown. The Antichrist can be a prime minister, president, or emperor, or whatever, but my best guess is he will be a monarch. We don't know the geopolitics of the time of the tribulation period. We have it in the Bible, but we don't know the exact course it's going to take. But I'm going to take some guesses today, what I believe it's going to be. Now, who do I think the Antichrist is right now? I don't know. I'm going to give you some better guesses than most people have. Did we know Barack Obama 4 years ago? When let's be specific. When 9/11 happened, did we know who Obama was? Some people did. From Chicago, some people probably did. But we didn't know who he was. Now, Obama's not the Antichrist. And I'm 100% sure he's not the Antichrist. If I'm mistaken, then I apologize. We see you in heaven to apologize to you. The Antichrist will come out of nowhere. Just like Obama, President Obama came out of nowhere. The Antichrist will not be able to come forth until the church is taken out of the way. Until he who lets or hinder, until he is taken out of the way, that he is the Holy Spirit working through the church. I'm just going to be blunt. See, some people say, well, we think it is. Well, we know. Sometimes you can be blunt. And maybe I might get in trouble for being blunt. But that's the only he I can think of. And when you start splitting hairs and saying, oh, it could be Satan. Why would Satan prevent the Antichrist from coming? That's foolish. That is so foolish. There's no way that Satan will hinder his own masterpiece from coming to the scene. Matter of fact, Satan has had many Antichrists, and Matter of fact, the Bible says that the Antichrist shall come from among you. So if he's coming from among you, then that means he's coming from out of, they're coming from out of the church as well as from, from in the church as well as out of the church. So the Antichrist is possibly many people. The person you walk by in church on Sunday. And the Antichrist is he who denies that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, meaning that the Father has sent him down in the flesh. God himself has come down in the flesh. The Anointed One has come down in the flesh to walk among us and to seek those who are lost. So let's continue on. And I saw and beheld a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him. Now notice he has a bow. Now if somebody passed him an arrow and he cocked the bow back, then he has the intimidation of war. So we know when the Antichrist receives a crown, he has the intimidation. Actually, he has the intimidation of a war before it even starts. Because if you notice, and he that sat on the horse had a bow, then a crown was given to him, simultaneously, I guess. And he went forth conquering and to conquer. So the Antichrist will come out conquering and to conquer. President Obama has not come out to conquer and conquer. Conquering is actually taking something. Conquering is holding claim to something. That's how you tell who the Antichrist is. He comes forth conquering and to conquer. That means he does a double split. He's conquering. His main focus is to conquer. That's why I said it first. So he comes out and he goes forth conquering and to conquer. And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, "Come and see." And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat upon thereon to take peace from the earth. Now the Antichrist probably signed a peace deal for 7 years. But if you read Revelation chapter 13, it says, "Who is likened to the beast? Who can make war with the beast?" Okay, so if that is the Antichrist's main thing. He comes out conquering and to conquer. He also puts a bow in that arrow and starts shooting. They say, who can make war with the beast? Who is able to make war with him? That means he's all that in war, warfare. He loves the war. They say that he honors the God of forces in Daniel chapter 11. Okay, let's go on. And there went out another horse, okay, that was red, and power was given unto him to say peace on her earth, and that they shall kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. Okay? And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, "Come and see." And I beheld, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, "A measure of wheat for a penny, and a third measure of barley for a penny. And see that hurt no, not the oil and the wine." So it sounds like inflation has taken over. And if we look and see, the credit ran, financial markets are causing money to be continue to be pumped in the system. Now, you cannot continue to pump money into a system that I guess you can if you.
Ladies and gentlemen, the very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society. And we are, as a people, inherently and historically opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths, and to secret proceedings. We decided long ago that the dangers of excessive and unwarranted concealment of pertinent facts far outweighed the dangers which are cited to justify it. Even today, there is little value in opposing the threat of a closed society by imitating its arbitrary restrictions. Even today, there is little value in ensuring the survival of our nation if our traditions do not survive with it. And there is very grave danger that an announced need for increased security will be seized upon by those anxious to expand its meaning to the very limits of official censorship and concealment. Of my administration, whether his rank is high or low, civilian or military, should interpret my words here tonight as an excuse to censor the news, to stifle dissent, to cover up our mistakes, or to withhold from the press and the public the facts they deserve to know. For we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on covert means for expanding its sphere of influence, on infiltration instead of invasion, on subversion instead of elections, on intimidation instead of free choice, on guerrillas by night instead of armies by day. It is a system which has conscripted vast human and material resources into the building of a tightly knit, highly efficient machine.
That was John F. Kennedy talking about secret societies that are running this world. Part of the reason why he had got shot. There's a saying going around, and it has spirits, is that the bad thing that happened to John F. Kennedy is he, for a moment, thought he was president. Tried to splinter the CIA and the Federal Reserve in pieces, and then that one got him killed. That came to be with investigation, of course. A lot of Americans know there was a conspiracy on that day, on the 22nd November 1963. We know for a fact that at least 90% of it, that there was not less than two gunmen. We know there's one on the grassy knoll, but I think myself, this is just an opinion, that there were a team of shooters that killed John F. Kennedy that day. And it's funny, it's kind of unusual how John F. Kennedy himself and Eisenhower warned us. Eisenhower is more up to the front, more out, obvious that he tried to warn us of secret societies, men who run the world, men who are out for gain, who use their money and power to get what they want. And today, we got people who, we got spears of people who want to be president and try to maneuver things, but being president does not get you the power to do that. And I'm pretty sure most past presidents have figured this out. What gets you the power to do this is those secret societies are ran by night or by secrecy. And that's what gives them their strength. But what totally gives them their power and strength is Satan, of course. The Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers in high places. And that's for Christians. Christians are in a fight. We are in a war to win. If we're not in a war, then we're on the sideline. And if we are on the sideline, we're going to get our, you know, this is where Satan wants us. So we're not going to, there's not going to be a fight. But there's going to be, now you can't tell me that you haven't walked up to coworkers that are not saved but have their problems. People are going to have their problems regardless. See, Satan puts you in a cesspool called sin. And as long as he can keep you there, you're going to have to contend with life's issue. Because if you sleep with the wrong person and you catch AIDS, that's something, and God loves you, you know, he wants you to come to know him. But at the same time, the Bible says we reap what we sow. So if you got AIDS because you are, something else happened without your power, then that's fine. Because I apologize for that one. But anybody who goes out and does something wrong to wrong somebody else, who robbed your neighbor, who killed somebody, you know, then that's another thing. But God wants us to know that we can be forgiven. Of course, he does not want us to be or do the things we used to do. It's kind of like a military person. A young brat who joined the army. When the brat is on the street before he goes into the army, he's just that, a brat. But when he joins the military, the drill sergeants inspect his conduct along with his community, his parents, his family, his friends. They expect him to change towards the conduct of the military. They don't expect you, when you come home from leave, to have an afro or to have dreadlocks. Or to have some ugly, really ugly mohawk. Because some guys in the army do have mohawks, but I think they're illegal. So we have a changed nature. What a lot of people fail to realize is that when you become born again, your nature is supposed to change, or we're in the process of changing. But the Bible says, who the Son sets free is free indeed. So those who are out there who are having problems with alcohol and drugs and things like that, we need to be set free from God, from the bondages that are easily having us captured. God loves us, and he wishes that none should perish, but that we should come to the knowledge of the truth, that God has saved us from our sins. And so we must, we must rely on God to keep us. As the Bible says in Philippians 1:6, that he will continue to work in us until that day. What day is that? Day of Jesus Christ. Things are much slower. See, sometimes things appear to be fast, on a fast track to the second coming, and then things just completely slow down. And then they go fast, and then they slow down. Then they go fast, and then they slow down, to a point where a lot of us look wrong, completely wrong. And with me, I'm coming to a point now that my ministry is going to be based off his second coming. But I think we get in trouble when we try to make various predictions about his coming. Because no one knows when he's coming. And the scoffers are going to love us getting it wrong. I mean, that's just an understatement. The scoffers are going to love when we get it wrong. You know, they're going to throw parties. The Bible talks about the scoffers saying, what happened to this promise of the coming of the Lord? And they scoff. And says, well, they didn't pay attention to my promises, even to Noah, when I just said I was going to destroy the earth, came true. They didn't listen to those. Or in Lot. I told Lot I was going to destroy the city. and it went from there. But imagine how, going back to Noah, those guys were laughing at Noah for 120 years. Never seen a big rainstorm before, and all of a sudden, where they at now? Dead. Where they've been in hell since then, think they know by now? You think that if they had a chance to come back, they'd rectify what they were doing? Probably not. What do I know? I don't know anything. Okay? But God loves us out there. God loves everybody. But he wants us to have a change of heart, a change of mind, a change of way. And he wants us to live for him. To come to a knowledge of the truth that would set us free from the bondages that are killing men every day, drugs, alcohol, gang violence. That's what's happening to the African American community right now. We're engulfed by, we're here and now. But that's a different show altogether. But I am so honored to have been able to at least do this show and didn't miss it because I almost missed the show. I didn't even know it. Didn't even know I had it. Didn't even know we had it. So stay tuned. On the 18th, we will be having our show. So check our listens and be you're welcome to go check our archives, check out our last shows that we've done. Well, back, we're going to go ahead and play this tape.
Right now, someone was choosing if you were going to live or die. What if I told you that this choice wasn't based on what you could or couldn't do, what you've done in the past, or what you would do in the future? And what if I told you you could do nothing about it? Fellow students and teachers, thousands of children are right now in that very situation. Someone is choosing, without even knowing them, whether they are going to live or die. That someone is their mother, and that choice is abortion. Every day, 115,000 children are dying through abortion. 115,000. That means that 5,000 children would die every hour. All those lives, gone. All that potential, gone. And all that hope and future, gone. Now, I know what some of you might be thinking. Oh, it's not really killing, after all, a fetus isn't a child, right? Why do we think that just because a fetus can't talk or do what we do, it isn't a human being yet? The word fetus comes from the Latin word, meaning young one or young child. Some babies are born after only 5 months. Is this baby not human? We would never say that, yet abortions are performed on 5-month-old fetuses all the time. Or do we only call them humans if they're wanted? No, fetuses are definitely humans, knit together in their mother's womb by their wonderful creator, who knows them all by name. Some people might say that, since abortion is legal now, it doesn't matter. But if an action is unjust, it needs to be illegal, and it has to be our business. And this particular law has a huge impact on our society. In 1997, over 1 million abortions took place just in the U.S. And just last year, over 42 million abortions happened worldwide. I'd say that's a huge impact. I know some people say that the mother has a right to abort. After all, her life is dramatically impacted by having a baby. But I'm asking you to think about the child's rights that were never given to it. No matter what rights the mother has, it doesn't mean we can deny the rights of the fetus. Talking about the mother's choice, the mother may have had a choice not to have unprotected sex in the first place. We must remember that with our rights and our choices come responsibilities, and we can't take someone else's rights away to avoid our responsibilities. At this point, I imagine the age-old question arises. What if the mother didn't choose to have sex? What if she was raped? But let's look at the facts for the U.S. as an example. Only 1% of all American abortions are hard case categories. This includes rape, incest, and the life of the mother being in danger. 1%. That hardly justifies the disturbing volume of abortions that happen these days. And who's to say abortion is the easy way out? I don't think people understand the effects of abortion on a woman. I don't have time to list all the negative after effects, but here are a few examples of the physical effects. 17% of women who've had abortions face complications in their subsequent pregnancies. Some may not even be able to give birth at all. They are also at a greater risk of developing breast cancer if they have an abortion. But perhaps the worst effects are the emotional ones. Women who've had an abortion tend to have more mood disorders substantial enough to provoke them to harm themselves. In addition, women who've had an abortion are 5 times more likely to have problems with drug and alcohol abuse. Abortion leaves a woman feeling